everybody, and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder here in the United States, and I'm here with, as usual, Jan.
Well, Alex, a bit of news from Zimbabwe. I get a newsletter from the old Rhodesians who monitor Zimbabwe. There are two things from Zimbabwe that are worth looking at that relate to whites. The first thing that I thought was that made me chuckle was Zimbabwe electricity. They were saying that the corporation that produces electricity in Zimbabwe, which used to be Rhodesia, that they are able to produce 12 hours of electricity every day. When I was a kid, it was 24 hours a day, 365 days in the year. And a lot of their electricity actually comes from Lake Kariba, which is a hydroelectric project built by the whites in the 1950s, Alex. They built this dam, this huge lake. At the time that they built it, it was the biggest man-made lake in the world. And that lake provides hydroelectric power to Zimbabwe and what used to be, it basically used to be northern and southern Rhodesia, which is now Zambia and Zimbabwe. And that lake and that hydroelectricity is still the main thing that produces power for them. But regardless with the other power stations that they have, they are down to 12 hours of electricity a day. Can you believe?
Yeah, that's not very much. It's got to be hard to get stuff done.
Yeah, even the blacks have. Even the blacks years ago started moving on to solar power and stuff because the electricity in Zimbabwe is much, much more unreliable than South Africa. But South Africa has been heading down that path as well. Before I went to the USA, we had a lot of power outages. We were getting quite a lot of power outages more than once a week, though that is now sorted out. I suspect, Alex, that whenever there are problems with these blacks screwing up things, that what you get are whites, white consultants, white businesses, often local ones, sometimes international ones, and they come in and they fix the actual problem. And then the problem disappears for the next year or two or three until the blacks fuck it up again. That is basically how South Africa functions. Whenever things break, the whites fix it. Nobody ever mentions it. And then the blacks carry on screwing things up until it breaks the next time.
Yeah, I think it's that way in the major cities in the U.S. It's just the population differential is, you know, it's still mostly white. So the affirmative action stuff, you don't have blacks trying to do stuff there. They get contracts in their name and hire whites to do the actual work a lot of times, and they just get paid for being black. But when they're, you know, past 90% of the majority, you surely have to run short of skilled people. So a lot of the whites will have left, and, you know, you discriminate against the ones who are still there. So the utmost desperation is going to lead you to call them in when you literally can't do it yourself technically. So I guess it's all just a big charade. We pretend that blacks are people and that they're competent, but they're not.
Yeah, Alex, and you hit the nail on the head when you talk about skilled people leaving. I was talking to a neighbor of mine who had started his own business many years ago, probably I think in about 2011, and he was making some money, but now with the economy going backwards, he's struggling himself, and he's got a wife and children. And so he was telling me that there's a new shortage of skills again. So that means that more whites must have been leaving in the interim. So the job market is looking good. And basically, I was trying to explain to another friend of mine who comes from Eastern Europe, who lives here. I was trying to explain to my friend, because she has a business, and she runs her business full time, and she's struggling. I need to explain to her that when you're living in this sort of black environment, that you're basically on a downhill. But the way that this downhill works, it goes through sort of cycles. So the cycle is that things start collapsing, then whites start leaving, and businesses start going down, and some whites get out of the country. Then it gives other whites who would not have had the chance to get some of those jobs, gives them a chance to get jobs. So then those whites get jobs. They then fix things. They get some skills. Things even out a bit for a while. And then those whites leave, you know, when the next sort of implosion comes. And so it goes on like this, and you get these cycles where whites who would not have had a chance to do some things get a chance. They manage to work their way up, and then they get the hell out of the country. And so it carries on. But it's always this dwindling skill base of whites, you know, as you say.
Yeah. Well, anything else going on down in South Africa?
Okay, the other one, I've got some South African stuff and Zimbabwean stuff. The other one that I was looking at was, you know, Mugabe chased out all the farmers and they were seizing farms. From what I can tell, they were seizing farms until 2016. And apparently those farmers have been trying to use various methods, I assume international methods, of trying to negotiate with the government to try and get some money. And there was a whole long report, which I didn't go and read in detail, about these white farmers having a meeting with the government of Zimbabwe to try and see if they can actually get some money. And and you also have another problem. You've got a lot of old people who left Zimbabwe, old white people who left Zimbabwe, who get pensions from Zimbabwe. And those old people, because the currency and the economy has gone backwards, their pension in Zimbabwe dollars still sounds like it's money, but in reality, it's no money at all, you know, because the currency has gone to hell. Yeah. So anyway, these farmers whose farms were seized, the Zimbabwe government, I think, has managed to procure something like, I think it's US dollars, something like 53 million US dollars. And the idea is now that they're going to try and pay out some of these farmers. But there is also some other kind of weird, I don't know if it's more like incompetence and crookery and all kinds of black, just basically black stupidity, in that when these farmers, if they were to get money, again, they're going to lose on various exchange rates or various government rubbish and so forth. The bottom line is that although these white farmers are meeting and following what seems to be international processes, it seems like they're not going to get much, if anything, you know, very little that's likely to come. And the country itself is buggered. In fact, another point is, you know, that they had a coup d'etat a year ago, just over a year ago, and they threw Mugabe out. Well, the current black leader is busy buying, he's importing hand grenades and other stuff because he's expecting black unrest. So I think we're heading closer and closer to a Zimbabwe civil war, which I've been talking about for quite a number of years. I think in the future there's going to be a meltdown in Zimbabwe as well, not just in South Africa, but I still think that our region in the future, I was telling people this week, I still think that this region is in for some serious conflict in the years ahead, and Zimbabwe will also go into some kind of total meltdown and civil war, and hopefully South Africa will too at a point. I see war as a good thing.
Well, what would the sides be in Zimbabwe?
What would the sides be? The sides would be, I don't know if I told you about the MDC, the Movement for Democratic Change. The Movement for Democratic Change was a political party started by whites and blacks in 1995. And that was where basically the white farmers provided the money. White farmers and businessmen provided the money, and the blacks provided the votes. The MDC has been smashed quite a lot by the current government, but it still is the official opposition. And there are new black political oppositions building up to the current government. So some of these blacks may be slightly white aligned or white aligned. Others might be very little white aligned, but they hate their current government. So and I know that one of the movements that I was looking at some time back, they are quite militant. So I think Zimbabwe is going to be a bloodbath of some kind. Of course, what we don't know is for these movements are all struggling for money, but you never know who might support whom. And in past history, in the wars in Africa, the blacks would form sometimes multiple different political parties or units, and then somebody might get lucky and get sponsorship. Sometimes more than one of them would get sponsorship from the same side. You know, like you might find two black political parties supported by the Chinese or the Russians, you know. So all kinds of weird things are possible, but the idea of black on black violence in Zimbabwe, it's definitely a good one. And in Africa generally, Alex, the way that things work is that the blacks are upset for a long, long time, and it's very tedious and it's very repetitive. And then suddenly, almost without warning, it just explodes into violent bloodshed. And Zimbabwe, I think, and in many cases, the process takes about 25 years. So I think in Zimbabwe, you never know. You know, I think since Mugabe's gone down, in fact, Mugabe himself, I think he's still alive. Mugabe himself might even help to sponsor some of the others. You know, Africa becomes very chaotic, and what is pretty interesting is these blacks, when they start fighting among each other, they can actually fight. They don't just fight like two different sides against each other. They can fight as like four different groups, and they're all fighting each other, you know. And maybe many of them gather together to fight the main enemy, but they also will actively actually kill each other. And in the past, when these things have happened, it's been very, very bloody. And that all of that is positive news for us. So, and once these things start, they also have a tendency to rage on for a very long time. They can last anything from 15 to 25 years. I think that the shortest that they'll fight each other will be like 10 years, but often it's longer. So once they start going into meltdown, it gets crazy. And there are still blacks leaving Zimbabwe, fleeing to other countries in southern Africa. They're even fleeing to Namibia. So, you know, I think that the future is going to be a lot more unstable, and the next places for war definitely would be Zimbabwe first and South Africa second. South Africa's wars may still be a way off. I was telling people earlier this week that I think it's at least 10 years away, but after 10 years, I can't guarantee anything. It could be heading into strange spaces. So for me, war is good. I like the idea. I think it's a good thing. Because in our case, you know, what have you got left to lose? You've already lost most of everything. So, you know, how much more can you lose? And war can work out for white people. And once these non-whites start fighting each other, they can get nicely divided. And in the days long ago, like more than well over a century ago, probably 150 years ago, before the Boers were strong enough to be like dominant in South Africa in the areas where they were, the whites used to also, there were times when they would fight blacks, but they would have other blacks as allies. And I think that will be the pattern for the future. I think in the future, that is a very, very viable way that things could work is that whites don't fight all the blacks. The Jews would like all the blacks to fight the whites. The Jews and commies and liberals would like all the blacks to fight the whites. But the reality is, I think the whites will have some allies. And especially once a place like Zimbabwe goes up in smoke, if Zimbabwe will definitely go up in smoke before South Africa, long before South Africa, that can already set the scene for some nice opportunities where there will be extreme hatreds among the blacks before the war with the whites begins. And that means that the whites can already start picking sides before then. So I like that concept. I still think that Zimbabwe and South Africa definitely are going to have some kind of massive wars in the decades to come. But Zimbabwe's one is getting closer. They are definitely that is a good one. Anyway, returning to South Africa, just news about South Africa. We had lots of power outages before I went to the USA, and while I was in the USA, the power outages stopped. Most of the time, Alex, these things are just white companies that are fixing things, and they're often local consultants or local companies, and sometimes they're even foreign companies from Europe or America or Canada who come in and fix things. So our electricity is now totally stable for now. So it'll probably be okay, you know, for the next year or two or three or whenever, until it starts failing again. Our major airline, our government-owned airline, South African Airways, is technically bankrupt. They've basically been bankrupt since pretty much the end of last year, and so that is a big thing. And they also are extremely inefficient in the number of people per passenger. I stand to be corrected, Alex, but to give you an idea of how these blacks sort of overload these systems, I'm not sure if SAA has got 10 times the number of employees per passenger than other airlines, or whether it's 30 times as many employees per passenger as other airlines. They've got an enormous number of staff. And even Eskom, the electricity thing, they have got three times as many staff as they should have. So this is also part of the good stuff, is that as the liberals and everybody work with the blacks themselves overload organizations. And this goes down, this is not just at a governmental and quasi-governmental level. This is also on a business level. This happens in day-to-day business, in big corporations. The same pattern takes place. The blacks load up with all their buddies and fellow travelers and so forth. So it brings down the profitability of everything. And, you know, all in all, it's a good trend because it means that all the big things are getting loaded down with inefficiencies. And it gives, you know, whites in their little sort of home-based little private businesses, gives them a bit of a chance in the future. And the other thing is, I believe our president's going to give some kind of State of the Nation address. But I normally don't even listen to that because they just talk a whole lot of shit about stuff that they claim they've done when in fact they've done virtually nothing, you know. And final thing from South Africa itself, just to show you, everything just keeps looping in the same old loop, is the liberals are writing that inequality in South Africa is continuing to increase. And so that, of course, is always aimed in a twisted way against whites. They never say that the super rich are getting super richer. So that's as much news as I have from South Africa and Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
So what do you have at your end? What do you see out there?
Well, there's a lot going on in, let's say, the rest of the world. Let's say Europe and the U.S. In the U.S., Facebook is coming out with a fake cryptocurrency or sort of moving into that sphere. What effect it will have on Bitcoin remains to be seen, but Facebook's kind of a front for various intelligence collection agencies, so I would personally stay away from that. But big news in Germany, somebody associated a pro-invasion politician, and they're claiming whoever did it is a radical right-wing extremist, which is their view, which is how they characterized anyone who wants Germans living in Germany rather than dead and under the soil. So physically fighting back is the next step, because deplatforming is the big story, continues to be the big story in the U.S. They're knocking everybody off of YouTube and the other, and Twitter, of course. And so there's really not much left to do except fight back. And at the same time that they're deplatforming everybody, they're trying to, for example, they've sued everybody who was involved with Charlottesville, and they use any communication they made to prove there was a conspiracy. Now, you had dozens of examples of the Antifa communists, the anti-white communists that are funded by the Jewish left, attacking our side. And then when our side, in preparation for a rally for which it has a legal permit signed off on by a judge, discusses defending itself after the rally, that becomes the basis for the proof of a conspiracy, according to the Jew Sow lawyer who was discussing that. And see, now they've sued all those people involved with it, Richard Spencer and the other people. They were defending themselves. They had a permit. The cops, at the behest of the Virginia politicians, shoved our side, the good guys, into the Antifa communists, who then attacked them. Then our side defended itself, and now they're being sued, and they're trying to turn it into a conspiracy to commit violence. And so they're also saying at the same time that our very position is illegal, or our very beliefs represent violence in and of themselves. And as I've said before, this is an old thing, claiming that conflating words and behavior, and claiming that words are behavior, and that our view is violence against blacks and Jews, etc. Not our actions, but our mere words. And it's not just typical lying media propaganda. This is what lawyers are arguing in courts. So yeah, in the end of the day, what is there to do except form a white liberation army, as I've said? And it might as well be global in scope, or at least have units in every nation. And more people are coming to understand that the two forces doing battle are Jews and whites, or Team White and Team Jew, as I style them. And anybody who is not with us is with Team Jew. And Jones the Catholic has said that white Catholicism and white nationalism conflict. You can't be a Christian and be pro-white. It means is you don't understand. You don't understand what's going on if you think you are. Christianity is anti-white. Don't want it. Working with the Jews. The Catholics talk about against sexual degeneracy, but when it comes down to it, they side with the racist, tribalist Jews and their hero, Jesus, whom they worship. It's that simple. But anyway, yeah. So yes, they're very much up worried about this guy. Lubka was moralizing to the Germans a couple years ago. So they let in the million people into Germany that no one wanted, that Merkel let in, a right-wing supposed politician lets in all these million plus Syrians, and most of them aren't even Syrian, they're Pakistanis and Africans and such, greatly disturbing the German people. Although they haven't shown that through their voting as much as they could have. But anyway, they disrupted the social life in Germany. And we know the racial plan is to destroy Germany and Europe and every white country by mixing in these tens of millions of non-whites. And this angered the people. And, when they'd put a whole bunch of these coloreds in one small town, I don't know which exact town it was, and it doesn't matter. I'm just abstracting the lesson here. And Lubka was one of the politicians who got up and said, if you don't like it, leave. If you don't like Germany being turned into Syria, leave. If you don't like what we're doing with forcing immigration on you, leave. And this is very much how the left does it, whether he was a left-wing or right-wing politician. I don't know what party he belonged to. But anyway, someone who may have been right-wing and racially oriented in outlook apparently shot the guy in the head. That's what they're claiming, and killed him. So you have actual political fight back in Germany.
Oh, and nice.
I absolutely believe this is going to characterize the coming age, because the two go together, the deplatforming. I use this quote long before anyone else used it, from John F. Kennedy: those who make peaceful change impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And that's what's happening. They're basically driving everybody offline, and they're redefining beliefs as behavior made the same thing. And if you have the wrong beliefs, you're a terrorist. The wrong beliefs, you're a hate criminal. If you have the wrong beliefs, you shouldn't be allowed any space. You know, Herbert Marcuse, there's no plots for the right, no place for the no place for tolerance, you know, closing the comment sections everywhere, trying to streamline it into one or two groups that they completely control, you know, based around Facebook. And now they see that the cryptocurrency is really going up. They've destroyed the money. That's another thing that went on. Deutsche Bank is now taken over by the state in Germany. So they call it capitalism, but when you don't let things fail, that's not capitalism. That's a form of socialism for the hyper rich. So they're going to force the German taxpayer to bail out these banks. They're going to do it by printing money and diluting the purchasing power, like they've been doing in the US. And the point, all the smart financial guys, is they've been faking it, well, long before 2008, but 2008 was when it first started to fall apart. And then they papered it over by printing a few trillion since then, right? So that's the only solution they have, is printing trillions more dollars. And this has driven the asset bubble in real estate, mainly in the U.S., and priced a lot of people out of their houses. And they don't have anything else. There's no way to wind it back down, because that money's floating around. And now Russia and China are buying gold and trying to withdraw from the U.S.'s dollar reserve system that we have, where everything is processed through New York. And that and the American army are what have kept the dollar the world currency. But basically, Bitcoin is going up hugely. Remember, Bitcoin was in the 3,000s back in February. Now, when I told people I said it was a good to buy, it was 3,800. And the last I checked, it was over 9,000 yesterday. Gold is also nearing its high in the last 5 or 6 years. It's up around 1,400. So gold and Bitcoin are both good investments. That's what I believe. A lot of people still believe Bitcoin's a scam or will go to zero. While that's possible, I don't believe it. I think it will keep going up. I do recommend it. Gold is good. So just huge problems everywhere you look, and none of them can be resolved, because the powers that control everything are not going to allow any kind of peaceful change. And the people tried with a proxy of Donald Trump. And like I said, let that be the end of the age of proxies. Only vote for people who are overtly pro-white and anti-Jew. Quit voting for people you hope will do what you want. They never, literally never do. Never do. All Trump has done is support Israel, give Jews more money. Christ, they just named a suburb in the West Bank after Trump, because he gave it to Israel. He's giving away parts of lands he doesn't even own. So all he has done is serve the Jews. He's been blocked from building a wall, but he hasn't really tried that hard either. We have more invaders than we've ever had before. We have to pay for them. All these other third world countries, it's not even people who live in South and Central and America and Mexico who are coming up through Mexico. People in other parts of the third world, like your Africa or Southwest Asia, figured out, just fly down to Central America and then come up through Mexico. And then when you get to the border, you get papers that say you have to show up in front of a judge in a couple of years, and they never do. So then you're free. So they're trying to end the destruction of the United States as a stable, white-based country. They hate that. And they had the chutzpah, this Kamala Harris, who's an extreme anti-white politician. This was perfect Jewish chutzpah, even though I don't think she's a Jew. She's just a black, but she's certainly always been involved with them. And she may even be married to one. I'm not positive about that. But Kamala Harris said, Trump is trying to change the demographics of the nation by stopping immigration, when she meant illegal invasion. I mean, how is that for perfect Jewiness? Perfect Jewiness, blaming the other guy for what you were doing yourself. They're trying to change the demographics, and she hates white people by swamping whites with coloreds, and she's charging him with changing the demographics of the nation by resisting what she and her cohorts are doing.
Yeah.
So, And
what she and her cohorts have been doing is on a much larger scale for much, much, much longer. And Trump's tiny little useless pinprick is what they complain about.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. We're taking in more invaders now than we were under Obama. I mean, they're flooding in, and, you know, all we do is provide them with benefits. You know, food, clothes, whatever. We set up tent camps on the border until they can see a judge. And the whole discussion is what we owe them, how we can make it easier for them. They're just fucking the average person. I mean, where I live now, you can see all over the place African families everywhere, all over the place. I mean, in just some nondescript town in the middle of the country.
That's
all
insane.
Quite by deliberate design. There needs to be a revolution. There's no point now. This is why I try to get... You have to get ahead of the curve. You get ahead of the curve, build an army. But all these people are going to be talking about voting in elections 20 years from now, and it'll matter even less than it does now. Vote for whoever you want. It's the same agenda that always is pushed through because the Jews have captured the political class. So until you find people who are willing to fight and die for something and kill for something, you're going to be ruled by people who – either know who they are and what they want, that's the Jews, or the people who serve them, the conservatives who are in it for themselves, who are individualists, sellouts, and career girls. And voting is not going to change any of that. It's well past when voting can change it.
Well, if I may make an observation, Alex, I think the election of Donald Trump is the proof that voting is a complete waste of time. Revolution is the only way to go.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, he said the right things, and if he did what he said, but that's the problem. The permanent bureaucracy, which I think is better than deep state. Deep state, they ought to just say the intelligence agencies, but the permanent bureaucracy is huge. A huge percentage of people draw their income from the government, either directly or indirectly, as subsidized classes, and the media are completely, they may be private in name, but in function, all they ever do is defend the government and its anti-white agenda. So to get anything done, even if he were an overt white nationalist, it's virtually impossible because every single agency and class and person and member of the media wants to stifle you and stop you. So how much could someone even with the best intentions do? Now, our side has it backwards. You have to have the army first. That's when the voting starts working for you. Hitler, without his SA, would have had nothing.
Absolutely.
And we're in worse circumstances than he was in because there were still a lot of loyal Germans in the media and in the courts during his time. And Jews were a smaller percentage of the population, and they didn't have a whole bunch of blacks there. You know, whereas we have a nation that at best is maybe 60% white. The media and the courts are completely against nationalists, and you know we're just in a worse situation. And you know we keep voting for proxies like we've always done. That's the one thing I've never liked about the right. It never learns. The same thing happens to it 20 times, and it can't wait to do it the 21st. You've got to try something else. That's why the Germans think a little more logically. It's like, well, they understand a lot of what I'm saying, though. That's why the next coming era of politics is going to be basically killing people who aren't allowing peaceful democratic change. Because there's no other way to do it. They continually cheat us. So
Alex,
it's logical that we kill them.
Alex, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. Whites have to up. Whites have to up the game. And
Jews running the U.S. are nothing but criminals who are trying to bring about the genocide of our kind. All right. So anything done to them is justified. And people have to understand that. And that really is, there's not really much more to say than that. I mean, there's just go around and try to collect examples that prove what I'm saying is wrong. You know, what are you going to find? The best I've been able to dig up, and he's now exploded all over YouTube, where he's somehow not canceled like everybody else, is E. Michael Jones making the Catholic position. And as he says, as I've always said, and thank God he's saying the same thing, although from the opposite direction, Catholicism and being white are conflicting identities. Catholics is the body of Jesus. Your race doesn't matter. That's worshiping your own atoms. That's worshiping at the altar of your own blood. This is the Catholic position. They don't care about that. Why, they can civilize anybody. It just takes them 1,000 years, so it's effectively non-falsifiable, but that's their position. If you think the church protects you, if you think what matters is life after you're dead, if you think what matters is this imaginary God and his morality that were given to Jews, the bloodthirstiest, most blood-conscious tribe that ever existed, if you want to believe all that, that's another option if you think that will work. But it won't work. And all you're doing is joining a ring of queers and pedophiles who worship a Jewish tribal god. That's what Catholicism is. He leaves that part out. But maybe you ought to worship your own kind. Maybe you ought to revere your own ancestors. Maybe you ought to fight for your people. Who are your people? The mystical body of Jesus or the white race? I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? And what they don't offer you any protection. If you're white, which contrary to Jones is not a negative, is a positive thing. The government sure knows what it is when it comes time to discriminate against whites. As you know, in South Africa, well, you're joining the Catholic Church doesn't make any of that discrimination, that hatred, and that violence go away. Only joining Team White and fighting back can do that.
Yes. Understand?
So that's basically that's the situation summed up where we are on June 20th. 2019.
Yeah, Alex, I definitely agree with you. You know, one thing about Trump that hit me the one day is that Trump probably does better work when he sends out a tweet on Twitter than anything else.
Yeah.
Because he probably has more power, exercises more actual power via Twitter than as president of the U.S.
Yeah, that's true. But I'll tell you what I said. I don't know if I said it on a Team White or not, but I said it somewhere. You know, he could have just said, look, you people elected me in large measure because I would build a wall and stop the illegal invasion that is changing the face of the country. Now you see that some judge in Hawaii is preventing me from doing that. Well, you know what? I'm calling on all loyal Americans to go down to the border and we're going to build this wall ourselves. And he would have had millions of volunteers do that. Were serious, or if he were serious, he would simply say, you know what he did? He's made the Department of Defense budget larger than it's ever been in history. He could have easily said, I want 10% of that money and I want a wall built before we do anything else. And it would have had to happen. He could have done it by pure executive order as necessary to protect the nation. And he won't do it.
Alex, wasn't there something several months ago where he was talking about something like that, using the army to build the wall?
Yeah, I mean, he sent some people down there and they built a mile or two, but it's just like a grade. It's just stupid. It's honestly like a spoof of a wall. And it doesn't cover any distance.
Yes.
So it's not serious. Yeah, he talks about it a lot, even today, but he doesn't do anything. He talks about everything, but he never does anything. The only stuff he actually does is pro-Israel. So this has made him a mockery, and people can't stand him now. The people
really?
Who would have supported him. And he also doesn't defend. Another big point that a lot of people make is he doesn't defend any of his own people when they get banned off social media, because the left largely sees that it was social media and all Trump's fans on it that got him elected. So they do not want that happening again in 2020. That's why they're banning all these people. They might even end up banning Trump himself off Twitter. They don't want the big tech, which is extremely leftist, doesn't want anybody using any of their services to reelect Trump, even though he has done basically nothing that he said he would do. They're just so far gone in hatred. They hated Trump. Derangement really is a good word for it. They hated Trump in a deranged way. It's deranged because it doesn't notice that 99% of what he's done has been leftist crap. pro-Jewish crap. 100% of it's been pro-Jewish. So, but yet they hate him and they don't want him elected. They don't want him reelected, and they don't want him using any kind of social media to get reelected, because that's obviously where a lot of his power is from Twitter. So basically everybody's been banned off Twitter. You know, all of us white nationalists are long gone off Twitter.
Absolutely, absolutely. And even if you have an account, which I do, the shadow banning is so intense, you cannot
see. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of, a lot of people are still on there, but I mean, they do all manner of dirty tricks on there, just like they do on Facebook and everywhere else. Google does it too.
I would say that from my experience, I think Twitter is the worst. Twitter has made it so that technically, yes, you're still on Twitter, but in reality, the answer is no. You're talking to an ever diminishing circle, and you don't get new people. End of story.
That's what I hated the most about the left. They won't admit what they're doing. It's just typical of how they're so dishonest. They do all this dirty stuff and they don't admit it. They don't admit what they're doing, but they always do it, you know?
Well, it makes me think of what I always used to say about communists, you know, the only good communist is a dead one. And I'm afraid these people on the far left in your country, they are literally commies, literally.
Yeah, the Jews brought that over from the old world. They're communism. They mutate, but it's the same mindset and the same intentions as they had in the old world. It's just achieved in a different way that fit the different circumstances and diversity and multiculturalism and all this kind of garbage. And now the extreme sexual deviancy that wasn't as practicable in Lenin's time. They did try it. They tried it right after the revolution with social disorder, easy divorce, and the rest of it. They know absolutely that leads to problems. They had to reverse it because their revolution was threatened. Things went so crazy. But over here, they filtered it in bit by bit, and they're making it all work for them. So, yeah, and if they're irrational or reasonable, if they actually believed what they were saying, they would let the country split up and let the people who disagree with them go their own way, but they won't do that. They want to force everyone into their system. They want one world. They're going to run it, and they're going to run it the way they want, and they're going to kill anyone who resists. And that's what they're working toward. And that's why we're wasting time doing anything but organizing physical resistance to it on as wide a scale as we possibly can. That's the step right now that needs to be taken.
I agree, Alex. I think Tom Metzger's lone wolf idea was a good idea, and it's done well. And the lone wolf and the ghost wolf and all those ideas have run their course, and they will always have a use where a white man or woman does something that they know is good for the race. But we need to, I think, grow into bigger things, packs of wolves, groups of wolves, overt, covert, some with names, some without names, and do what you can.
Yeah, I mean, on as big a scale as can be done, and be overt and public about it. I mean, I don't see anything else, you know?
Absolutely. No, Alex, this is the thing. I tell the people in South Africa the same thing. There are people here who are working towards trying to do something like a white state. There's quite a lot of talk about it, and people have been, some of the organizations have been busy with some things. And I've said to them that, you know, all is good and fine up to a point, but you will see that when you get down to the real thing, you know, talk is fine, but when you want to like really do it, that's when you'll see that the blood will flow, okay? And they will not allow you to do certain things. They will just not allow you. And if you want those things, you're going to have to fight for it, just like in ancient times. Power struggles, that is what the world is about, man. And if you're not ready to fight and kill, or you don't believe enough in your cause to be willing to die for your cause, then you're not going anywhere. If you want to get anything done in this world, and Alex, this is also why they preach so much against extremism. Extremism isn't the problem. Extremism is the answer. Extremism is the only thing that actually does work. You know, just like whether it's Dylann Roof going and doing his thing or this guy in Germany or whatever, extremism is the answer. And these people are the liberals and Jews and everybody else running around saying, oh, extremists, white extremists, you know, this is must be stopped. That is actually how we're not going to win. You know, you can only win by being an extremist. And in many cases, the extremist must also lead the way for the others who are not extremists. The extremist has to do what he has to do because there are huge numbers of people who don't act. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in your original revolution in the USA, that only about 3% of future Americans actually took part in the original revolution. Everybody else was sitting and watching what was happening. And that is the way that the world works. And that's how the communists have had to work. That's how the Jews have had to work. Is the people that really matter are the small groups of extremists who go out there and fight for the cause. And then you have other people who move gently in their wake, you know, who follow, but who only follow when somebody else has done something. But if you want to be a part of something real, if you want to do something real, you have to be an extremist. That there is no other way that you function in the world. I'm not sure if Adolf Hitler ever had some kind of quote around that, but I think he understood the principle.
Well, I mean, he was battling communists who were doing nasty things, and certainly they were using violence and lying and deception and media control and all these things to control people. They're not letting people choose. They're trying to force people into a totalitarian system. So, I mean, how many decades do you have to see of the same thing until you draw the conclusion that this is who they are, this is how they act? They don't respect anyone else. They don't believe anyone else has any rights. They believe they are owed all power and all money, and you are there to be a slave and can be done anything to, up to and including being killed, whenever it's convenient for them. And that's the world they've built. You know, they're suing, like I said, like I started, they're suing all those people in Charlottesville for defending themselves against people they paid to attack them and lying about it all through the media. You can't get an honest word in anywhere in the media. Well, what's the natural evolution? It's going to be shooting journalists, for one thing, shooting lawyers, shooting judges, shooting politicians. This is what's coming. And they made it that way. There's no other way for it to be for people who actually want change.
Yeah, you know, exactly, Alex. I just cannot comment except to agree completely with you on that score. That is the only way, you know. If they're gonna stop and somebody also mentioned to me that, you know what, in modern times, them taking our income and our livelihood, that is also something new and more hideous than in the past. You know, I don't think it's been common or easy in prior internet times to be able to get people to lose their jobs and their businesses and stuff like that. But now these people do it all the time. They will quickly remove your livelihood and destroy your life just because you are speaking your mind.
Yeah, they're trying to get people fired from the most basic jobs for disagreeing with them. They basically don't believe anyone should be allowed to disagree with them on anything. And they've spent generations indoctrinating public school kids with these ideas, and now these idiots are basically about half the population. And they don't understand anything. They don't know anything. They just like crying in a group and trying to shut everybody else down. They don't want to let anybody else have a separate opinion about anything. So they're producing a social disconnect. The population is splitting up and dividing into basically two warring camps. And so we should define it as whites and Jews. And all these nuts and cranks and people who believe bad things are with the Jews. And people who want any kind of sexual normalcy or want to live without being molested for their race have to go with Team White. It's not about conservatism. It's not about Christianity. It's a racial fight, is how we have to look at it and make it. Because the rest promotes, the rest just promotes confusion and false solutions. And you think these conservatives are what you really mean. Not, it has nothing to do with, no, it has everything to do with race, and it doesn't have anything to do with conservatism. That's just fake opposition created and fostered by the Jews to fool people. So they don't have an actual, what they actually worry about is a force like the National Socialist who understands them and knows how to fight back against them. They are certainly not worried about Catholicism or Christianity in any form, because if they were, they would declare the cross a hate symbol. They don't do that. They would drive Christianity off the airwaves. They don't do that. Christianity is everywhere on the radio. They would force churches to pay taxes if they were anti-Christian. They don't do that. They wouldn't grant William Pierce tax status for his organization. So Jews, by their behavior over time, show what they actually think about Christianity. They may not like it. They may find it stupid, but they're not afraid of it. Not in the least. They find it very useful. And what they fear is what the Germans, who are called National Socialists, figured out about them. And that is basically the way to fight back against them. And those lessons remain pertinent today. And that's why if you read translated National Socialist writing about Jews, it's more apposite, it's more applicable to today's times than anything you will read from any right-wing person.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, the Jews at some point, Leon de Grel mentioned, I think Leon de Grel mentioned this as well in his book. He mentioned in Hitler Democrat, he said that the Jews tried to bribe Hitler at a point. And there is a video where Goebbels talks about it as well, where Goebbels says that the Jews basically approached them, and the Jews were, you know, wanted to now be friendly to them and join them. And Goebbels just said that, you know, that they said to them, no, you know, we don't want you to join us. And I think the fact that the National Socialists were so incorruptible, utterly incorruptible, that is why these Jews know that, you know, this is the one thing you cannot fight. You cannot fight a true National Socialist.
That would separate them from the entire Anglo sphere of Anglo conservatism, because they've always been weak. They're the definition of conservatism is at base. It's Christianity. The Christians are the cucks. They sold out their own race to worship a Semitic tribal god. And so anytime you find conservatives and Christians, their whole worldview is based on essentially serving a different tribe. That's what all the Old Testament is about. Jesus came from a Jewish mother. Whether you believe he existed or not, it doesn't matter in that sense, because what have these Jews got to do with us? Nothing. That's a different people.
Yes, yes.
And so ultimately, conservatism is just another word for Christianity.
Yeah, Alex, you sum it up when you say, you know, we worship a non-white deity.
Read the essay by Morris Samuel, the Jew. He explained all of that and how the trivial opposition to Jews is just ludicrous. Look at the real problem. And he says, that's it. We gave you your God. Our national literature is your Bible. All their lies about pimping out their sister and their mom and stealing their birthright from their father. I mean, all that garbage is what's in their Bible that they read and they worship. It's absurd.
Yeah, is this Morris Samuel, is this the guy who wrote his book, I think, in 1928?
Yeah, it's old stuff, but it's still relevant. What he said is true.
Yes, yes. The one where he says, what is our greatest crime against you people? Is that the one? Where he says, you people accuse us of this and you accuse us of that.
Yeah.
And the things you accuse us of are so minor and so pointless. Let me tell you what the real crime is. And then he goes on to say, basically, you worship our gods, our deities, our kings, our history, our everything. That is our crime against you.
I think.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's very brilliant. Very brilliant. well said, you know.
And that's an old classic text, and people, I have to read that and understand, and they're trying to combine racial views with Christianity. Christianity is for a different race. It's something created by Jews for to be universal that they can control, and that's what's going on. That's what's happened. And believe me, if it were anti-Jewish, all of a sudden you wouldn't hear it on the radio. It wouldn't get tax status advantages. You'd have to pay taxes. See, churches can accumulate a huge amount of assets because they're not paying taxes on them. And then they would call the cross a hate symbol, and everybody would all of a sudden be afraid to wear it around their neck. So racial tribalism for them, is the ultimate thing is what I said. If Christianity were a good thing, Jews would have kept it for themselves and forbid it to you, like racial nationalism.
dead on.
For you, they have race-less universalism. Just ask E. Michael Jones, Catholic. He'll agree. And that's the good thing. No race. Race doesn't matter. Whiteness doesn't exist. He's just another leftist selling you garbage fake solutions, selling you snake oil. Out of the back of the Pope Mobile.
Yeah, Alex. Well, I mean, all these ideologies and isms, the one is more worthless than the next. And whenever somebody comes up with a new ism, the Jews just make sure that it's not an ism that is actually going to threaten them. What is that? Civic, you know, taking the teeth out of nationalism and turning it into civic nationalism. But
what is Christianity but civic spiritualism? Anybody can go in a church. Everybody's welcome and everybody needs it. It's what they say. It doesn't have anything to do with race. Civic spiritualism.
Yeah, but
Judaism is Judaism for everybody?
No.
Who's it for?
Only the Jews.
Oh, wow. Rabbis conduct DNA studies before people get married. They can test for Jewishness on doing DNA tests.
But
Jones is sitting there, no, Joe, Jews are defined by, they reject Jesus. That's what defines a Jew. Well, that's funny, that rejection of Jesus shows up in a DNA test. But of course, it's not. He's only looking at things through the lens of his ideology, which was ironically provided by a Jew. Jews themselves don't care about Jesus. They reject him, but that isn't the basis of Judaism. The basis of Judaism is their tribal worship. We have a future, and here's what it is. And it came from God, and God loves us and says every other race exists to serve us. That's Judaism. It's not true, but it's a justification for every rotten thing they do to other races. So they worship themselves. Their view is in line with nature, and our view is not.
Yeah, Alex. Well, E. Michael Jones, all these so-called intellectuals, they are so weak. You know, everybody's so vulnerable, and nobody can speak their mind, and it's all just a lot of nonsense, and it just wastes our lives and time, eh? And if you do speak your mind, you're an extremist.
Well, they just call anybody white. Whites are extremist. Anyone who isn't in favor of whatever their sexual garbage is an extremist. It doesn't have any meaning. Basically, it has no meaning. It's just a smear.
Yeah.
They used to not apply it to everybody. Now they apply it to absolutely everybody who opposes them on any item. And that's how all of their verbal usage tens over time. They're a cult. The non-Jewish ones are, the Jews are a cult, but they're a racial cult, and what they do makes sense. The white ones are just insane, and they just can't stand anyone disagreeing with them on anything. They simply can't argue, and they can't deal with anyone without smearing them, because if they argued honestly, they would fall apart and lose. And so at some level, they know that, so all they have is smearing and suppression. And that's exactly what we see. And lying. You know, they have to lie. Oh, we're not monkeying with algorithms at all. But then inevitably it comes out, yes, you are. Shadow banning and making sure that, like, Alex Jones doesn't appear till page 3 of his search results. They're not honest.
Yeah, that's where the murder, the revolution, and all those things come in. Yeah, we are
Well,
just.
unless you want to have the other options, being their slave, shutting up and do as they tell you.
Yeah,
So
no
which is it? Are we
thanks.
going to live on our knees as slaves of these assholes? Or are we
Yeah.
going to dare to try to command our own future?
Well, I don't know if you know the Romans and the Greeks used to say it is better to die on your feet than to live on your knees.
Yes.
And they lived by that. And we
Yes.
need to return to those things. Yeah, Alex, very interesting, and very interesting about the German politician getting blown away. That is good. That's a little bit of good payback there. Nice to see some
Well, he
Germans
was stood in
doing
front of the
stuff.
Germans and basically said, "Screw you! I don't care what you think. We're going to stuff your town full of these migrants that no one wants, these invaders, and you're going to like it and shut up, or at least shut up. Fuck you! Fuck the people! Fuck your so-called democracy! Just shut up and do what we tell you." Well, boom! Bullet through the head, and
Nice.
old good old Wally Lubka is lying on the ground making a pool out of his stupid brain. It's fantastic.
Nice. 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 And you know, Alex, do you remember some months ago that story about the 200 German soldiers who were plotting
Yeah, I
to
remember
overthrow the
it.
government?
Whether that,
And
how true that was, I don't know. I think that was a little older than I had realized when I was talking about it. And how real that was, I don't know. I don't know.
Alex, the bit I went and read a bit, and from what I could pick up, it sounded like their intelligence people had picked up on this, and they spent quite a long time infiltrating this group. To me, it sounded very real. To me, it sounded like they truly had found a group of soldiers who were definitely plotting something, and they then basically infiltrated them, gathered the evidence on them, and then, shut them down, put them out of business. And then, of course, they with their spies, they had the information needed to take care of them. And I want to tell you, Alex, if I had to guess, I would venture a guess that there's a 60 or 70% chance that that story is true. I'll also go and ask some Germans that I know. But if that is true, I must tell you, it just adds to my view that we must be positive about ourselves, that not everybody out there is totally sick. And when I was in the US at the Fash Bash, and also when I was talking in Canada, I did run into guys who were ex-military. And I did run into guys. One guy I ran into had been in intelligence in the USA. I ran into a naval officer in Canada. I ran into a couple of different guys where I had some good chats, and they were former military, former police, or something of that nature. We had a good chat. And I want to tell you, Alex, there are some woken up people out there. We are not alone. We are not alone. I think that there is something out there. We must not give up on our race. There are people trying.
Well, it'd be nice to see some ex-military try to set something up and make it overt and above ground is the way to do it.
I suspect that those any military kind of people, especially senior officers, I reckon that they are hunting. They will hunt those guys down like dogs. They try to get rid of them. There was a things over in the last 10, 15 years, Alex, where I came across references, I think especially in the time of Obama, where they were getting rid of lots and lots of senior military people, even up to the rank of admiral and stuff like that. I don't know if
Yeah,
you
they
remember.
vetted them for years very closely. They kicked out anyone with any tattoos they don't like, or they just kicked out a woman the last week who had made some tweets or something they didn't like. So they will, yeah, she had retweeted like "Gas the Kikes, Race War Now," that meme off the chain.
Okay.
So they don't like they don't anything they find like that. They boot the people out. So they're
Well,
trying. They're worried about people from the with military training. Leading stuff in the private sector, but we have a lot of ex-army, so We could set up militias. We could set up a national organization of some sort. I think now is the time to do it.
Not a militia, but just an army. I think you're right.
But I don't even like talking about that because it's so far beyond my area of expertise. It should be someone else leading that and doing it. And that's the thing to do. I mean, we've shown what can be done with words, and that's why they've driven us off, because we persuade people. What we say is true. If no other reason, we don't lie about what we're saying. So that alone makes us more valuable than the controlled media, which does nothing but lie. So now they're deplatforming us, and they're eventually going to get where everything that we believe is defined as hate legally and unavailable online. And they build a Chinese style social credit / totalitarian spy network. And then what do? You know, so we should be planning for that today, and everything else will flow from physical organized resistance. All the softer stuff naturally flows from that, because the hard stuff says we are willing to kill. And that's the difference. That's when it starts getting real. Before that, we are willing to vote.
I mean, the vote we fags.
We voted for decades. They never did what we wanted. None of them. So at some point, you got to draw the conclusion that voting doesn't work. Now, if you have people who are willing to kill and they're running candidates, do you think those candidates, they're not going to sell people out who are willing to kill? They represent them, and they feel the same way. So that's what has to come first at this point. I'm not saying maybe there was a point in the past when it could have been fixed by voting, but that point is probably more than or just about 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, Alex, well, we've covered quite a few areas there, and definitely – I think Ben Klassen's Rahowa, its time has come, eh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Racial holy war. I definitely, definitely think so. And I think that, worldwide, Rahowa, racial holy war for whites. That's where we need to go. No mucking around anymore. I think we need to look at this world. Whites have built the Western world, and whites must take it back, especially white males. We built it. We need to take it back.
Yeah, I mean, people go look on. I searched Germany assassination on Google News, and yeah, a whole list of, oh, they're freaking out over this guy being killed. And it's great.
Well, doesn't it show you that, as you've said before, you know, even if there were a dozen Germans left, they've still got more kicking power than the Anglosphere.
Well, I think they're more incisive. That what I saw when I was over there, they're more serious. It's not all lying and bribing and branding and. They remove some of the personality from the politics. That's what I like about it. In the U.S., it's all very personality-driven. The problem is then personality goes here or there. It doesn't stick to any kind of principle. I want someone, I don't care what they look like. If they say, this is what I'm going to do, and then they do it, then they're reliable, and you know what you're getting. But they never do what they say they're going to do in the U.S., maybe the leftists do because they don't have media opposition, but right-wing people never do what they say they're going to do. And they don't care because they get so much money from donors for selling out that for them individually, that's how they define success. I got paid a bunch of money by Jews. Yeah, I destroyed the country, or yeah, I did things that ruined the nation, but I got rich off it. And isn't that what matters? And that's how right-wing people in the Anglo world think. Whether it's the level of consciousness or not. So serious people, this guy said, you're not going to kill Germany. I, representing Germany, am going to kill you. And he did. And that's marvelous.
Definitely.
And anyone else who tries to murder whites and murder the white nation and produce and pass and promulgate policies that destroy white areas deserves to be killed. And people who kill them are heroes. And it's wonderful when they die. Wonderful. Absolutely. We celebrate it. I hope there's 1,000 more.
Absolutely, Alex. Absolutely.
Try to burn Germany? No, you're going to die. Not Germany. You are going to die.
Yes. And if I may add that I think that there are many billionaires who need to end up the same way as that politician in Germany. These billionaires think that they are untouchable. Everybody's protecting them. But what they need is they need to know that some angry white man is going to reach out there and touch you. And if you go and destroy our nations and our race, and you think that you're untouchable, we are going to show you that we can reach out to you and touch you in a way that you're not going to like. So that's it for today.
Join us on pieville.net if you want to post on something like Gab or Twitter and not be censored for saying the kind of things I've said on the show and Giannis said. You're welcome there. That's pretty much it for this time, and we'll be back with you again real soon. Jan, you have anything else you want to add?
No, Alex, it's been awesome talking again, and we'll be chatting soon.